need to introduce you.
Oh.
Okay. One of our speakers, Dr. Joanne Richardson, didn't come, so we're going to go on to Dr. Deepa Rowe. Dr. Rowe is a research assistant professor in the Department of Global Health at the University of Washington. She is a clinical psychologist who trained in Chicago and continues to work on stigma reduction interventions in the U.S., India, China, and Ethiopia. Dr. Rowe.
So does this mean I can go extra long? Because I am a little worried about time. So I guess I'll wait till you cut me off. Okay, thanks for having me here. I have no relationships to disclose. I like to start off my talks a little bit by introducing what stigma is, because I think depending on what discipline you come from, and public health is an interdisciplinary kind of arena, people have different conceptualizations of what stigma is. I'm a clinical psychologist, and so I tend to think of stigma on the individual level. But I acknowledge that stigma also needs to be conceptualized and understood, as well as intervened at a societal level as well. The basic kind of definition that the National Minority AIDS Council gives is that stigma is a label given based on perceptions of behavior, association, or the presence of a disease considered shameful. You could probably substitute the word disease for condition, or you know, any kind of attribute that someone has that is considered shameful or embarrassing. Because I'm a psychologist, we tend to think of stigma as an attitude. And all attitudes have three components: cognitive, affective, and behavioral. And basically, the cognitive aspect of stigma is what we would normally call stereotype. So, for example, a person living with HIV/AIDS is promiscuous. So that's kind of the cognitive facet of stigma. Another facet of stigma is the affective or emotional component, which we would maybe in lay terms call prejudice. So an example is, you know, a feeling. I dislike a person living with HIV and AIDS. And then the behavioral form is, of course, discrimination, which I consider to be a facet of stigma. So keeping your distance from a person living with HIV would be an example of a discriminatory behavior or the behavioral aspect of stigma. So stigma, the reason why I study it is its consequences. It isolates people and contributes to loss of social support. It also can eventually turn into depression and other psychological disorders like anxiety disorders and such. It contributes to poor quality of life, and I would say most drastically, it contributes directly to poor medication adherence and poor service utilization, engagement, and care, which ultimately leads to poor morbidity and mortality. So, you know, I do acknowledge that stigma kind of comes from the public level, from social norms and shared beliefs about the body, health, illness, power structures, and that sort of thing at the cultural or societal level. And that in turn influences public stigma, or members of the public that perpetuate stigmatizing attitudes, and institutionalized stigmas, or stigmas that are held in policies of institutions like hospitals and governments and that sort of thing. But it's those kind of influences that impact the individual and can contribute to internalized stigma. What can make stigma more severe as well is somebody's racial status, gender status, and also other health conditions they may be battling, like depression, schizophrenia, that sort of thing. And so this can contribute to an internalized stigma, which in turn contributes to poor treatment utilization and poor health outcomes, as I mentioned before. So we know that stigma is a problem. How can we reduce it? You know, I mentioned that maybe I haven't mentioned this yet, but I do believe that we should intervene on both levels, a societal level and individual levels. At the societal level, there are ways that we can look through our policies of institutions and remove stigmatizing language, stigmatizing policies, and that sort of thing. We can concentrate on economic independence and for marginalized groups like microfinance programs that can empower certain populations. We can community organize, and as I mentioned in the last talk I was in, that is happening at this point as well, community organizing, where the power of many voices is heard and can impact change much more than the voice of one. But as a psychologist, I concentrate on the individual level again, and they're actually, and I work on developing techniques partly from stigma in other disciplines like mental illness stigma and that sort of thing, and bringing them into HIV care. There was a nice review of stigma reduction interventions done by Brown, Terhue, and McIntyre in 2001. Much of the work that they had presented, though, lacks rigorous effectiveness studies and evaluation, but they do present some concrete techniques that we can use to reduce stigma, such as education or providing information and correcting misinformation about HIV that can contribute to HIV stigma. Contact is another way that we can reduce HIV stigma. And what I mean by that is kind of following the contact hypothesis, where coming into contact with a person living with HIV can humanize the illness for people and, in a sense, reduce stigma that way. This can happen in many different ways. This can reduce stigma that is internalized by other people meeting their peers and kind of realizing, you know, I can get through this through social support, or reduce stigma at the public level through maybe a person interacting, giving a testimonial in a larger group, but humanizing the illness that way. And the other way that we can reduce stigma is through coping skills acquisition, and teaching people living with HIV that they can get through this by utilizing certain skills. And I'll go through some of these in a minute. What we did was we developed a multimedia stigma reduction program. And our program is based on two other programs that currently exist that have very little evaluation of them. And our study was the first of its kind to kind of take these programs and put it into kind of a trial where we measure stigma reduction over time. So the program that we developed is primarily based on the ICRW HIV Stigma Toolkit, or the International Center for Research on Women's Stigma Toolkit, that is readily available online. Many of you may be familiar with their materials, but this is an intervention that was developed in Africa, and primarily in Zambia, and then kind of spread throughout sub-Saharan Africa and other places like Vietnam and India. And it was developed with 10 modules and 10 exercises per module. So it's a very lengthy kind of toolkit. One can pick and choose from the toolkit and to meet the needs of their clientele. So we chose exercises based on focus groups we conducted with African American women in Chicago and Seattle. The other intervention that our program was based on is the ITEC, International Training Education Center for Health, their Caribbean trigger videos. So the ICRW intervention has these really neat kind of drawings and things that are very Africa-centered. And so what we decided to do was, instead of using these drawings in our intervention in the United States, to develop video to go along with these kind of scenes depicted in the ICRW original toolkit. And we thought that the benefit of adding video would be that we'd model behaviors that can help to reduce stigma. So helping people cope with stigma by modeling the behaviors and how to navigate these difficult stigmatizing situations. So initially when I wrote the abstract for this particular talk, we had only had our focus group data. So the focus groups, basically we did two with women in Chicago, two with women in Seattle, all African American women. Each group varied in numbers of participants from 3 to 9 people in each group. And we basically asked them about their experiences of stigma that they would like addressed in an intervention. And then we showed them and summarized the ICRW and ITEC interventions and asked them to kind of comment on the appropriateness of these materials and then its potential for stigma change. And then we gave them a rank order sheet to kind of order their preferences of the exercises. So the women basically told us that these were important issues for them. Family and community support. Healthcare was a big issue that came out of focus groups, that that it really impacted them when they were in the hospital or the clinic and they felt that the healthcare workers were stigmatizing them or discriminating against them in some way. trust within their social networks was also a big issue that came up, and misconceptions about HIV among members of the Black communities that were in Chicago and Seattle also kind of impacted them. So they felt the need for kind of information and education to be disseminated a bit more. Also, the women talked a lot about racism and its interaction with HIV stigma and how they felt like they were battling multiple stigmas, particularly within treatment settings, surprisingly. So we put together an intervention from this data, paying a lot of attention to the exercises that the women considered beneficial. And we put together an intervention that was implemented in a group setting. So this is something that the women really wanted. In fact, we would run the focus groups, and at the end of the focus groups, the women would say, "When's the next one?" You know, like it was almost therapeutic for them to come and just talk. So we naturally thought that group setting would be great. This is contrasted, by the way, this is just an aside. We did focus groups with men as well, and the men did not like the thought of groups or coming together in a group and had difficulty even coming to a focus group. They explicitly said in one of the focus groups that they would prefer a stigma reduction intervention that was provided online. So that's why we kind of made a conscious decision at one point to just focus this intervention development on African-American women and kind of move to a different sort of intervention at a later date for the African-American men that we spoke with. And so we piloted this intervention that we developed. Took us about 6 months to develop the videos and kind of adapt the exercises for an African-American population of women here that domestically. We piloted the groups in Seattle. Basically, I had moved from Chicago to Seattle, and so unfortunately, I mean, that was kind of how we did it. And I started to get to know some of the community-based organizations in Seattle. And so we found a very active African-American woman that was living with HIV who facilitated these, we call them workshops. And each workshop occurred after in two afternoons, where women came and they stayed for about 5 hours on a Thursday afternoon, 5 hours on a Friday afternoon, and participated in the intervention. So our main facilitator was an African-American woman living with HIV, as I mentioned. We also had a research coordinator / social worker who just walked into the room that helped facilitate the groups, and I was also there. If I'm a licensed clinical psychologist, if any rough situations were stirred up and that sort of thing, any of the women needed to talk about anything in particular, I was there. We basically ran this workshop twice. So 1 week we did a two-afternoon workshop, and then the next week we had a new group of women who did a two-afternoon workshop. And in all, 24 African-American women living with HIV participated. They kind of varied in duration of illness. So they lived with HIV for anywhere from 3 months to 25 years. So we had one very newly diagnosed woman in the group, and then it went all the way to some women living with HIV for 25 years. We started off by laying out group expectations. We didn't call them rules. We kind of asked the women, what things do you expect from the group? And they kind of listed their expectations, mutual respect, no right or wrong answers, that sort of thing. And we started off by asking them to define stigma. And, we didn't want to kind of talk at them and have, death by PowerPoint or anything like that. So we had them come up with the definitions themselves. And then at the end, we flashed kind of a technical definition of stigma. And lo and behold, these women kind of used the same words that were in the technical definition of stigma. And I kind of wanted this particular group to kind of have this community feel that we learn from each other kind of thing, which is why in the next exercise called Coping with Stigma, the women kind of shared their own ways of coping for the other women, and they listed them on postcards, and we stuck them on the wall, and so that all the women could kind of learn different ways of coping with stigma. Examples would be, I prayed, or I talked to my daughter or son about what was going on with me. And seeking comfort was another exercise that we worked with, where they practiced relaxation. We had another exercise called understanding assertiveness, where we watched a video that I will show you at the end, and where we help them to kind of model, or we modeled assertive behavior rather than aggressive and passive behavior for them, and then they role-played it afterwards. So we made use of role-playing as well. This is another exercise that happened at the end of the day. It's called the web of string. So women would basically toss a ball of yarn and then pass it to another group member, and then they would, as they were tossing it, have to say a positive word about themselves. And then another woman would toss it to another person saying a positive word about themselves, and at the end you'd have this web of string. And we asked them in the end, what do you call this web of string? And they would say words like peace, unity, and togetherness, which kind of gave a nice feel to things. I'll show the video at the end, but I just wanted to also just really quickly go through this. From day one to day two, there was a 7-point reduction in stigma scores. And then from day one to day eight, this was a week after we ran the workshops, there was a 5-point reduction in stigma scores. This is on an internalized stigma scale that we have validated with African-American men and women. So here's kind of what this looks like graphically. So we did find a reduction in stigma scores, but this reduction was non-significant, and this probably has a lot to do with the fact that only 24 women were enrolled in this pilot study. So we're hoping to do another study larger, going to write the grant for that now, where we can, you know, maybe do a controlled trial as well. And we're going to do it in Chicago this time, is what the hope is. So